into study and research and trying to figure out what is it about Jesus? Really, what is it about Jesus that made people change? Because when you read the Bible, it's really very different than what we see today. People changed, like, and then they left their nets and followed him like that. And you're like, how did that happen? We're missing some chapters here, right? At least that's how I feel. In Luke chapter 5, we're going to go to Luke chapter 5 and take a look in verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake. Hey, kids, let's do a Bible story. So I'm going to do a Bible story, okay? Luke chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to hear about Jesus, okay? One day as Jesus was standing by the lake in Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats, and he left there by the fishermen who was washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one that was belonging to Simon. Simon later became Peter, okay? Jesus changed his name. So Simon Peter, and he asked him to put out the boat a little bit from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So the people stood on like the beach, right? And sat down like an audience, and Jesus was in the boat preaching to them. And then when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners from the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats. Both boats were filled with fish so much. You know what happened to the boats? They started to sink. That's a lot of fish. I've been fishing before on a boat. That's never happened. When Simon Peter saw this, and he fell at Jesus' knees. And he said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now, Jesus performs this miracle, right? And after a very, very unsuccessful night of fishing, and they didn't catch a thing, in one of the other translations, they were actually washing their nets. Like, they were done for the day. Like, we're washing our nets. We're going to put them away. Because nets get to smell. They get the fish smell. But they don't have hoses. They have to, like, scrub them probably or something. They don't have, like, a power washer or anything like that. So they are washing their nets. And Jesus is like, listen. Put down your nets one more time. And Simon's like, oh, man. Like, we're washing them now. But you know what? All right. Since you say so, I'll do it. So he puts down the nets. And what's interesting is in the beginning of the story, I don't know if you noticed, but Simon calls Jesus master. Calls him, right? Doesn't he? I think he does. Yeah. I'm just going to go with whoever said that and trust them. He says, because I know I read it. He says master. He calls him master because you say so, I'll let down the nets. So now what is a master? You guys, what do you think a master is? Let me see, like some children though. Lucas, my son, what do you say? What? Like a sensei, like in Ninjago. I know what he's talking about. Ninjago, they had master ninjas, right? What do you think, master? A boss, yeah. Like, who's a master? Like, give me an example in like movies and cartoons and stuff, because I probably know it. Right. Anybody else? Master? What's a master? Nobody, right? What about in the Lego movie? There's a master. Just shout it out. No, that's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but good. What is it? Master what? Master Oogway? That's from that other movie with the panda. See, I know these things, guys. No, Master Builder is what I was looking for, right? Why? Because they are the master at building. They've picked one thing, building, and I'm going to just build and build and build and build and build and until I become a master. And that's a master. And Jesus was a master in his field, which was teaching and preaching. And so Simon recognized that. But then, after the fish thing happened, what do they call him after the fish, after he catches all this fish? What does he call him then? It's not master anymore. What is it? Well, yeah, but it's a title is what I'm looking for. It starts with an L. Lord. See, master is somebody who's just really good at their field, but Lord is literally somebody who holds their your life in the palm of their hand, right? And all of a sudden, Simon went from thinking this guy's a really good teacher to realizing he's Lord. You know, something happened in his mind. When he saw all that fish, and that was basically for him a miracle. I had never seen this before. And then he says, go away from me, I'm a sinner. Why does he say that? Why? Why is he ashamed? Who knows? Do you know? You know? What is it? Because of sin. That's it. You're right. Why? Why all of a sudden sin? What? No, we weren't talking about sin. What do you think? He does. That's right. You're right. You are so smart. Yeah. And so you know what happens? He all of a sudden, he knows Jesus is Lord. He's like, oh my gosh, Jesus is Lord. Go away from me. I'm a sinner. And then he says, and he's sad. You know why? Because he thinks he can't change. See, I can feel that way so many times. I feel like, oh my gosh, Jesus is amazing. I totally believe in him. But what about, I can't change. I don't know how to change. I'm not someone who can change. You know, he had faith in Jesus, but he had no faith in himself. I felt that way. I mean, I don't know, have you guys ever felt that way? Like, I tried and I tried. We just sang that song. And I can't change. I used to feel that way. For a long time, whenever I felt like I was in a group of like professional people, I always felt very inferior. And I felt like, I don't know, I mean, upbringing, whatever it is, but I felt very sad because I felt like everyone was better than me. But then when I was good at something, I would become arrogant because like I overcompensated or something. I don't know why, it's very strange. I don't know if you could relate. But I would also have unrelenting standards would lead to anger and depression. And who does this hurt? It hurts all these people in my life that I love, my wife, my children, my family in general. And it's really annoying, you know? But what's interesting about Jesus, let's look at Jesus' response. When Peter or Simon falls down on his knees, and he's like, Lord, go away from me. I can't do this. I can't change. And Jesus' response is very interesting. He says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. What? Obviously, we know what that means. That means from now on, you're going to help other people change. How is that supposed to make me feel better? Like, that seems... you ever think about, like, whenever you watch movies and they're like, the main character needs to go through training before you do anything else. You have to be trained here, and then you could go out there and do what you need to do out there. But in Jesus' philosophy is different. He's like, no. You're going to change. That's easy, Simon. You have no idea. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of this. You will change. But first, we need to change the world. Change the world, change the person, right? I didn't make this up. This is in here. So he doesn't, instead of like sitting Simon down and saying, okay, we're going to go through therapy or whatever. Not that I'm saying therapy, that stuff's bad. It's good. I need it a whole lot. But his goal was like, let's go out and let's change the world. And as a result, you're going to change with it. And this is what he does. He does exactly that. Luke 5, verse 12. There's three stories of people being healed, being changing, basically. People that are not Simon that are changing, but Simon is watching the whole time. Verse 12, it says, While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along. He was covered in leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground, face on the ground, and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He says, I am willing. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And then Jesus ordered him. He said, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for cleansing as a testimony to them. And the news spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Another story. When Jesus was teaching and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there, they had come from every village in Galilee, all over Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. And some men were carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. and they tried to take him to Jesus, but they couldn't find a way because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof, and they lowered him on his mat through tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law think to themselves, "Who is this fellow? He speaks blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, go home." And immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he was lying on, and he went home praising God. Everyone was amazed. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. And they were filled with awe. And they said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Another story, one more. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax collector booth. He says, "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Then Levi had a great banquet, party, right? Banquet is a party, for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Cool. So now we see all of a sudden, we see Jesus go out and he's trying to change the world, right? He's trying to help people. He's trying to change people. And Simon's there the whole time. And as a result, And as a result, Simon starts learning a few things, and we do too. We have three stories. If he has what sickness? Leprosy, right? And Jesus, and he says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And the Lord says, and Jesus says, "You know what? I am willing. Be clean." That guy, his life is changed by something. Faith. Faith, right? He says, "God, Lord, I believe you can change me." He goes, "You know what? I'm going to do it. Let's do it. You're done." And he heals him, right? Now, the next guy is lowered on a mat through the roof. But this time, it's a little different. What does Jesus say to him to heal him? Who remembers? Senna, what does he say? That's perfect. That was a perfect answer. "Your sins are forgiven." Why did he say that? I don't know. Probably because the guy needed forgiveness. And the third story, we see Levi, right? And Levi is a tax collector. Now, let me tell you why do you think tax collectors are bad? Why do you think people don't like tax collectors? Elinam. They were cheating people. Not only that, but who, this guy Levi was a Jew, right? But who was his boss? Caesar was, they were the Romans. They were the bad guys. Rome had taken over their land. They wanted to rule their land, but guess what? They couldn't because Rome was doing it. So these guys who were tax collectors and they were Jews, they were working for the bad guy. And they had no friends. No one wanted to hang out with them. At lunch, they'd be eating alone. So Jesus goes up to him and says, "You know, I want to be your friend." Levi is so grateful. What does he do? He throws a party. Has a big party. Like, "You're going to come over to my house. We're going to hang out. We're going to play games. I'm going to feed you. It's going to be great. We're going to have a big banquet." Jesus used three things. And when it sounds so simple, like when I look at it this way, you know, you want to change the world. It's just three things: faith, forgiveness, and friendship. And they all start with F's. Isn't that perfect? It's like a great sermon. So, I didn't really write it. It's in the Bible. You know, I just kind of put it together. So let me just see. So he goes, you know, in these three stories, we see Jesus touch people's lives, and there's a definitive change in every single person's life. A huge change, an amazing change. They go from one opposite end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum. And it's all for three things: faith, forgiveness, and friendship. And some of these are things that are some of the hardest things for us to do, if you think about it. It's hard to have faith sometimes. It's hard to forgive sometimes. And it's hard to even make friends sometimes, because sometimes you don't want, there's that guy in maybe your office or in your school, and you're like, I don't really want to be friends with that guy. He's weird. Of course, people are thinking that about me anyway. So, but that's the thing. We have to break. Jesus broke those barriers. You know, it's hard, but it's so worth it, because we can change the world. And the whole time, Simon is standing there watching, and he's changing, and he doesn't even know it. And it all goes back to Jesus going, "Don't be afraid. That's easy. You're gonna fish for men." Let's look in Galatians 3. You know what? I don't even know what verse it was. I didn't write it down. Let me see. That's okay. But so anyway, the answer, the response that I would have to this, if I were you, because I did it when I was reading this thing, I'm like, but I'm not Jesus, right? Like, that's all well and good, but I'm not Jesus. I can't do this. I don't feel like I can do this sometimes. Not every time. Like, I'm not perfect like this. And yet, Paul says in Galatians, and I don't know where it is. Oh, actually, I do. Wait, here it is. No, I lied. Oh, well. You know where it's, you know, we've all heard the term clothed in Christ. Paul says we're clothed in Christ. The minute we get baptized, obviously, we look like Jesus to God and also to other people. And so when I think about this and I'm like, I make that excuse for myself and I'm like, well, I'm not like Jesus, but guess what? I am. I have the same thing. I can call myself a son of God, a son of man. I'm an adopted son. I'm not an actual son, but I am a son. And so are you. And you're a daughter. We are children of God. We have these abilities. It's hard, but we can do it. We can actually change the world. And it's all happens while we're changing ourselves. Now, I'm going to address the elephant in the room. Okay. We look at that story about Simon, and he's on the boat, and he's bringing in the fish, right? And he's got him in the nets. And what happens? There's so much fish that the nets are breaking, right? But, you know, if you look around, our nets aren't breaking. Now, I'm not being accusatory. I figured, you know, there's probably some people that are thinking this. I figured I would bring it up. I don't know why that is for all of us, but I could tell you why it is for me. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't fully believe I am capable of helping people change. Jesus says, don't be afraid, but I'm afraid. Jesus says, you're going to fish for men, but I feel like I've been fishing for years. And there's just, and you say the harvest is plentiful, but I don't see it. And I pray, Lord, open up my eyes so that I may see. But then I go into Ephesians 1, which really inspires me. And this one, I know where it is. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul prays, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit and wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That same power, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all these things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So I read the scripture, and it's like Paul is acknowledging the power that there is in Jesus, right? And he's pointing to the best example. The best example is the conquering of death. He died on the cross, and he says that same power you have access to. guys, and I'm just going to admit, I'm just going to, I don't know, I'm preaching up here really for me. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I don't believe that most of the day, you know? I don't, and I want to, but I read that scripture, and I was like, wow, I've forgotten that. I've just forgotten that. I'm living in the real world, doing, you know, adult things, and I'm not thinking that, wait, you know what, God, that power does exist. What did I get baptized for? I think to myself, that is happening. And so when people, you know, are walking around and it seems so bleak, it's like, no, I do have the ability to do this. I mean, it's not me, it's God. But I should open my mouth. I should speak. I should say something. You know, it's a scary time to be a Christian because people just automatically link that to being a conservative and a Republican, and just be all of a sudden now being a Republican is like you're a racist. And I'm afraid to say anything about being a Christian because all of a sudden if I'm a Christian, it just leads to all these different things. And it's scary to me. And maybe it's not scary to you. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it. But I'm timid, and I just have to remind myself that, like, Paul kind of just, he doesn't really address any of that stuff. He just addresses, look, there's power here that you have access to. And it's the same power that Jesus was talking about all the way back in the beginning when he told Simon, look, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're going to change the world. And it's not by pulling people to church or things that, you know, have been done in the past. It's just through three simple things. Three deceptively simple things, I should say. Faith. Wait, what did I say? Yeah, faith. What was it? Forgiveness and friendship. I better write these things down. Thanks, guys. So when we take our communion today, you know, don't be like me and get all wrapped up in the fear of the world. I got to think about Jesus. Don't be afraid. My power is greater than all of that, he says. And you're going to change the world. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your wisdom, your power, Jesus dying on the cross. We're so grateful for that, God. I mean, without it, we'd be completely lost. But help us not to get all wrapped up in what the world tells us and what the world says. You know, we're constantly being spiritually transformed. And I've just let myself be spiritually transformed by the world rather than by you. And I'm sorry, and I want to remember Jesus as much as I can throughout my week, throughout my life, and the power that I have access to. And it's just a given. God, I love you, and I pray this in the name of your Son. Amen.